Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ola, it's Miles. How about this? Maybe you'd like to hear more of The Men's Room.
I know. You can't get enough of us. Subscribe to the greatest story never told on radio.com.
In case you were barking at the moon during the last Men's Room performance, here's what you missed.
And a woman and her nephew, they won $1,000 a week for life.
They won $1.2 million. They have to split it so they each get over $600,000.
Yeah. But she put her nephew's name on the back of the ticket.
Yeah.
Therefore, he is a rightful owner of that prize, but she doesn't think so. She said she put it there for luck, and now she's suing him for his half of the winnings.
Yeah, but she already admitted that she put his name there. But either way, Monty, we asked you, did you believe that this woman was black, white, Asian, or Jewish? And in the end, you went white, is that correct? Or did you went Asian?
No, I went Asian, but now I'm kind of wishing I'd stuck with my original guess, Jewish. Although I have a question. Does Middle Eastern count as Asian?
Because I know it does sometimes. Yeah, generally speaking, depending where the country is, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
all right. It doesn't matter. Black. Yes.
Boom. Guys, long-time listener, it's my father's 52nd trip around the sun. He would love to request your penis is too small and a big old bong rip. Thanks, guys. Love the show. That from Doug.
Where did I put that?
Where'd you put your small penis?
Yeah.
Where's Mike's small penis?
Mike, where's your small penis
Where
at?
Where did you put that, Mike?
Find your small penis, Michael.
Mike?
People want to hear small, your small penis.
It's really hard to find the small penis.
They have asked you to produce your small penis.
Oh, there we go.
That is Mike's small penis.
Right there. Where he left it.
It is so teeny tiny, it's just hard to find. Hi, guys, here you go. Apparently what happened was, after getting punched and kicked in the head, dude grabbed a pair of scissors out of his waistband with his feet, stabbed the dude in the arm twice, and then put the scissors back in his waistband, all with his feet. Just picture this. The tourist survived. Jonathan, however, was arrested by the long arm of the law as he was armed and dangerous.
Armed and dangerous.
Armed? Yeah, long arm of the law.
He was armed.
He was armed and dangerous. Dude had the scissors. I just want you to picture this. You have a pair of scissors in your waistband. You take your foot. You snatch these scissors out and stab a man twice in the arm and put them back like lightning fast.
Why do you have scissors on him?
I think because you're a homeless guy and just want to defend yourself.
He was armed.
Yeah, he was. He's a guy with no arms.
He was armed.
But he's armed. If you're homeless, things are bad enough, right? People want your stuff.
Yeah, but
if you have no arms, right, you just think things would escalate. Everyone's going to pick on you. That's what my guess is.
That's impressive, though, man. You take the freaking thing right out of your pants with your
stabbing
guy twice and put it back. Let's get it done.
Can we just a real quick experiment? Play like Sarah McLachlan again, and then if you could add the turtle wax, just to give people an idea.
These are actual turtles having sex. Right.
I mean, just to say, like, look, you're having sex, which can be done, but one of these tunes has to play.
In the arms of the
I mean, you're trying.
But you're going out. I mean, it's not too bad. You know, it kind of works. Let's try it with a little Barney. Just keep the turtles going.
It doesn't stop the turtles. That's horrible.
No, it doesn't. They keep going.
That is terrible.
Nothing's going to stop.
I love you. You love me.
Kind of works.
No,
I don't know.
It doesn't.
Try Clapton real quick here. See, I'm just trying to get a feel for this. Oh, you can't. Oh.
Oh, now it's just
horrible. You know what? Look, Kip on Twitter brings up a good point.
What's like, that?
If you just ignore what this song is about,
it's not bad.
And there's guitars. Like,
all right, okay.
This is the most four playable song.
That is a strong point, man. Okay. You're right.
When it's this hot out, some people store their cash in their socks or their bra.
We've heard about this every year. There are pictures circulating on social media of different businesses' signs refusing money covered in foot or boob sweat.
It's just, yeah, come on, man.
It's disgusting.
There was a lady in the old building that we worked at as a smoker. Every once in a while, you forget your lighter, matches, whatever. So there's a woman who I recognize smokes, mostly because she's smoking at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I walk up and like anyone, hey, do you have a lighter I can borrow? And she's like, absolutely. And I'm not kidding. She reaches into her shirt, like lifts up her boot, man, pulls this, and hands it to me. And dude, it's wet. And I'm just like,
wet boob lighter.
It was so, I mean, I lit my cigarette, but it's like, I'll take this boob sweat on my fingers.
And he had a sheen on his hand.
Yeah, that's all about
lighters, money, drugs. Those are things that get hidden in bras.
Yeah.
And socks.
It's funny. I say that about the money and the lighter. If they had drugs, I'd be like, cool. All right, believe it or not, John Lennon took a 5-year break from writing music after his son was born in 1975. He was inspired to get back in the game after he heard a song from the B-52s, the Go-Go's, or Bananarama.
B-52s.
There you go, Jason. Rock Lobster. Down, down.
So I was the laying famous in bed Beatle.
Then I heard Love Shack Baby.
Love Shack Baby.
I should write again because the current state of music sucks.
I'm driving a car. It's as big as a whale. And it's about to set sail. I like what you did there.
Gave
Let me get back in the game.
Right. That song, I will admit, as a child, was very hard to understand. It's like, who are these people?
Right, if you see the
like,
video.
The blonde lady was kind of hot.
Right,
I remember
right.
that. Like, but I was just like, what is this music?
And then there's this guy who I maintain is probably one of the luckiest people in music. And look, he wrote some good songs. It's not that. But his voice, he never really sang. He just talked. He was like a silly, he was like a vaudeville sideman. Love Shack Baby.
He was like a hype man.
Hey.
Hype man for a punk band.
Big as a whale.
Like Red Lobster.
I mean,
down.
Like,
down.
How is this guy getting paid?
Down.
Cheddar biscuits.
By the way, Mike Hawk, you sneeze very loud, and it was confirmed to us earlier this week. During a segment on this program, and I don't know
this
if
it's very segment, right,
but was it this segment?
It was.
Yeah. Ted and I distinctly heard this strange noise twice, and we're looking at each other, but it sounded like some technical.
Was that you through the wall?
That was me through the wall.
So yeah, I found out. I'm like, that couldn't have been him.
These are soundproof walls.
Our buddy VD was like,
well,
no man, it was Mike.
They're walls.
Yeah. Misleading marketing fuels bottled water consumption.
Well, no, Sherlock.
I'm going to fill in a headline for you. Misleading marketing fuels pretty much everything we buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's just how that goes.
So they hire a marketing team.
And here we go. Year-old baby appears in immigration court, cries hysterically.
No, Sherlock.
Landmark study reveals that a cup of coffee reduces sleepiness in the morning.
Really? Well, no, Sherlock.
Landmark. Hello, Taylor. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Taylor, you sober or not sober?
I am sober. I'm waiting for a ride home from work.
All right, cool, man. You just made it in, Taylor. You're going to be our last contestant.
I know. Thank God. I've been waiting on for like 50 minutes.
We appreciate it. Men's room poll. This song's going to play every time you have sex for the rest of your life. Sarah McLachlan, Angel. Barney, I Love You. Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. Or Jesus Loves Me.
Probably Clapton. I don't even know the song, so.
All right.
Well, I'll give you an idea. A comment came in and says, there's no way in hell I could do Eric Clapton, Tears in Heaven. We played that at my daughter's funeral.
Oh, see, it's never in a good spot.
You know what, man? Too real. Too real.
Hey, man.
Too real.
They don't play this at high school prom.
Why did you do that?
Right?
Why did you do that?
Is it safe to assume that anything that has French in front of it, if we eat it here, is not French?
Well, like
toast,
French fries, right?
Right.
I mean, truthfully,
French bread.
But French fries are Belgian. It'd be a pommes frites. We didn't even get the area country right.
Doesn't matter.
Why don't we call them Belgian? We call them French fries.
Oh, we got Belgian waffles.
We do have Belgian waffles. It's the best waffles.
The best.
I love them. General Tso's chicken.
Yeah.
It's not from China. It's from New York City.
General Tso, is he a real guy? Is he a real general?
I don't believe
so. The dish is named after a Chinese statement named General Tso Sing Tang.
I bet you nailed that.
You did that with the accent and everything.
It sounded close,
right?
I'm sure if you speak Chinese, that was offensive, and I apologize, but I thought
no,
I was
you probably
close.
Nailed it.
I would say that you said it's from New York City. My eyes would probably agree with this. It would have been General Tso's.
General Tso's.
General Tso's.
Tso's got great chicken. Sometimes the soup is cold, but the chicken is great.
This is the one that kind of blew my mind the most. Russian dressing. It's not from Russia. It's from New Hampshire.
Oh, no.
Yes.
God damn it.
The last one.
I bet there's
the
not
list.
A thousand islands in either.
Pasta Primavera. It's from New York City.
Oh.
Still delicious.
I mean, it is.
Thank you, head chef. There you go. Thank wow.
Now, the Men's Room legacy continues. Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hello, there we go. Welcome to show number 2,862. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Robin Fox, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
Power in the Men's Room. On tap today, here come the bad jokes, bitches. The return of Ted versus the FCC. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, a Men's Room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
Click, clack.
Drink at the drunk.
All right, here we go to the Lone Star State, where a dispute over a reserved seat at the Purge movie leads to a stabbing. Meanwhile, drunk Florida man attacks minion on boardwalk while incoherently blabbing. Former reality star turned prostitute steals John's credit card and goes on a spree. In Kazakhstan, a 40-foot tall squirrel is too big to climb a tree. And plane plunges 21,000 feet, all while the pilot vapes. That's all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, we told you about the would-be burglar in North Carolina. He broke into a Golden Corral restaurant. He ran into trouble when he got trapped in the ventilation system. Things got worse when employees turned on the stove. Well, he was rescued by firefighters. Now, we also share the story of the Washington man who broke into an escape room. Unfortunately, he could not escape. Meanwhile, our listeners at 98.3 The Keg in Arkansas are probably familiar with this story. It happened right there in Fayetteville about a guy who was stuck in a sewer. He eventually was rescued, but no one's quite sure how or why he was in the sewer in the first place. That's the part of the story that's a mystery. Well, now we have the story of a Washington State research student. She had to call 911 and explain that she was trapped 30 feet up in a tree and needed rescuing. But she was not stuck in a tree. You see, the problem was the pack of wolves that were circling the bottom of the tree waiting for her to come back down. Good times, everybody. Good times. But look, we always find ourselves in some kind of weird or bad situation. There's a moment that you know things are about to go south. And that's the moment that really sticks with us. Your adrenaline goes up and you go, oh boy, here we go. Well, that's what our question is today, man. We know you've been in a bad situation. We just want to know about how long it took you to figure out it was going to happen. So today's question is, what was the moment you knew you were in trouble?
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to themensroom@mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitches. You're listening to the Men's Room.
Hola, bitches. And away we go. Welcome to show number 2,862. The large, incredibly in charge program we have for you today as the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC is coming up right before we drink and toast with the shot of the day. By the way, speaking of Ted versus the FCC, if you have not done so yet, you can download the Men's Room app and play a little you versus the FCC. And we make sure to update that thing on a regular basis so you think you might have done every single tongue twister in there. Those are constantly updated when you get the app.
app, and there's a whole bunch of other cool stuff on there as well. So Ted versus the FCC is on the way, and we'll get to the bad jokes with Ryan Castle and kick off bad jokes as well. And today our question is all about that moment that you knew that you were in trouble. And it is the uh-oh moment, so to speak. And we'll start with a story.
I think the moment you say uh-oh is the moment you realize.
And then you know, like, oh, man, am I going to go? Am I going to have to go to the hospital? Or what is going to happen here? The kitchen staff at Golden Corral in Mount Airy, North Carolina, were working on Tuesday when they noticed that the smoke was not ventilating properly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know what you know about a kitchen, but Steve, could you basically explain the ventilation system in the kitchen of a major, because everybody has a little vent fan above their stove or whatever. But
well, man, it's industrial strength, and a reason it needs to be industrial strength. And anyone that works in a kitchen, if you open the restaurant, you know this to be true. You walk in, and the kitchen is room temperature, right? And then once you turn on the burners and the stove and the grill, all the crap that goes, the temperature goes up upwards of 30 to 40 degrees. If you keep the vents off, the temperature goes up 30 or 40 degrees. So part of the reason you put the vent on is so that people don't drop dead working in Death Valley temperatures, right? So think of all of that heat getting sucked into the vent, except now there's a dude who's been stuck in there. And I'm telling you, I don't know much about this story other than you're stuck in the vent. You don't want to get caught. Your reasoning, you can get out of there somehow. Once they turned those stoves on and he felt the amount of heat going up there, I guarantee you that's why he started screaming.
Well, the exhaust vent above the stove was blocked, so the manager went up on the roof to investigate, and he quickly figured out what was wrong with the vents.
There's a person stuck in there, guys.
Yeah. It turned out 59-year-old Charlie Walker had tried to break into the Golden Corral before it opened. He got stuck in the vent, so he's actually pretty lucky the staff found him.
Yeah.
Fire department came. They rescued him, and then they took him to a hospital. Once doctors checked him out and made sure he was okay, you know, he was off for the jail for felony breaking. And
where did this happen?
This happened in High Point, North Carolina.
Okay. I'm saying some of the people that I've worked with in restaurants, they'd be so mad that someone tried to break it. But, nah, we're leaving his ass up there for 10 minutes. Turn the stove on.
Yeah, I think that's somewhere.
And they tell, yeah, your ass getting hot.
Yeah. Our listeners at Rock 103 probably know where the hell that is. I think that's in the Piedmont somewhere. Either way, a Golden Corral. Not a bad place to eat. If you're in one of those situations where you're just like...
What is the situation? It's fine.
You're on the road.
It's fine. That's the situation.
That's the only situation.
Everywhere's fine. A motel is great if you're on the road and you're dying from sleep deprivation, right?
Yeah.
But if I say, hey, man, you want to stay at this motel or do you want to stay at the Hyatt?
It's Golden Corral. They open... They're not a 24-hour diner, are they?
I don't
think
they're
just
a diner.
Not
a buffet place now.
Oh, it's a buffet. Oh, I thought it was like a
Golden Corral used to be like you go in and get a steak or whatever, and then I read this whole story on them. They had a couple nights where it was kind of all you can eat.
Okay.
And then over the years, that's just what it turned into.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought it was actually a sit-down place. Okay,
right. See, I think you're stuck in the nostalgia of things. Like, when I was a kid, if my parents said, hey, we're going to take you to Golden Corral, I'm delighted. I am excited. I'm very happy. As an adult, I'm like, again, if I'm driving, sure.
Yep, you're right. Absolutely. It's a buffet. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Miles does like that. I won't say the name of another restaurant, but somebody called in and mentioned. You're like, that is the best. The guy's like, no, it's just a fast food joint. It's not near you.
Yeah. You're probably right.
I was going to say, when's the last time you've been to one?
Golden Corral. Last time I went, it was a sit-down place where you could get, like, meatloaf.
How long? So we're talking, like, 20 years.
Yeah, exactly.
One.
But it was fantastic.
Times have changed.
Look, I haven't been in a Big Boy either, but I know I'd go back. You know, it's like one of those
things. Big Boys
are there still Big Boys?
I don't know, but if I saw one, I'd be like, oh, yeah, they probably are great. You know, like a Sherry's.
I know I can go back. Mm-hmm. Do they exist? I don't know.
I don't know.
But if they're there.
But if they do, they're great.
Right.
They're welcoming me back with open arms.
It's like Howard Johnson.
Yeah. When you go get ice cream,
greatest spot you could ever go.
You could just find one.
Can't find one.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go there after we hit the Blockbuster.
We went to Arthur Treacher's Fish and Chips, we did. A man and a child became stuck on a zip line.
You mentioned fish and chips. I remember the first time I ate there. This is how long ago
Arthur
it was.
Treacher's?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Dream Team was playing. The original
one. Oh, no way.
In 94.
And I'm going to say, that's late in their existence, man.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be everywhere until people realized what it was.
Now it's just Long John Silver's. A man and a child became stuck on a zip line.
What do you think of Long John? Before you even get in there, is that a great place?
Oh, it's probably been 25 years.
Seems to be your general thing.
It was decent. Well, I remember, like, the Hush Puppies. They have Hush Puppies.
You should do Yelp reviews.
And they have crumbs.
You need to do Yelp reviews for places you haven't been in 2 decades.
Greatest meal
ever.
I think I'd be spot on.
Says Miles, 1998.
You think they've changed the cod or anything? I mean, it's the same crappy fish. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was still delicious.
But look, man.
They're breading in their hush puppies.
I think sometimes when you revisit things, they're not quite as good. Remember when we tried to watch Dukes of Hazzard?
You may be right.
Dukes of Hazzard was so awesome when we were kids.
But why can't I have a positive?
Remember when you tried a Twinkie again? Because as a kid, they were so great. And they didn't change anything.
No, you're right.
Your mouth got smarter.
Or maybe go to one of those steakhouses where they give you a steak like on a metal plate.
Yeah.
In Bonanza, with the Ponderosa,
it has the logo of
Western
the restaurant burger.
Yeah. A man and a child became stuck on a zip line in Gatorland over a pool of gators on Saturday. The manager of the zip line said the situation is an everyday occurrence. Happens fairly often. Let me repeat that again.
Why is it still open?
I don't know.
It's a zip line over a gator pond, and he says people getting trapped over the gator pond on a zip line
happens
is
all
routine.
The time. Yes. Nick Kahapina said the man and child were never in any danger.
Yes, they were.
The guides at Gatorland are fully trained in that particular situation. They were about 40 feet above the gators at the apex of the zip line. Officials said they were stuck on the zip line for around, just 25 minutes. Slightly longer than normal due to the weight of the man. He said wind gusts are typically to blame for people becoming stuck, which was what was happening in the situation. Usually just takes 15 minutes to get down. So it's windy, the wind gusts are blowing, he's dangling. But the thing was, if you look at the pictures
normally
of the video,
you're only dangling over gators.
10 to 15.
For 10 to 15.
But
that's not supposed to be part of the
you
ride,
actually
but
do,
you should expect
all the gators kind of pull up together and like
yes.
in a clump like you'd expect them to in a movie or a cartoon.
looking up
like, all right, man, what's going to happen now?
Well, it's like people in the kitchen at a party.
Right, everyone goes
like
where
you're
the food
cooking
is.
Food, right? Like, I'm going to stand around the kitchen.
Guess
so these gators are like, there it is.
Uh-huh.
Oh, one of these days, that food's dropping
here
in.
Here come the snacks.
All right. What was the moment you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Ben. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. When did you know you were in trouble?
This was last summer, around July. We were on so I'm Native American, and we participate in our cultural belief is we used to travel the waters. That's how ancestors met.
Okay.
And so last year, our canoe journey was up in Campbell River, Canada, which is pretty far, halfway up Vancouver Island. And we were at Nanaimo, and they said it was going to be a two-hour pull around the point. But, you know, that was a joke, because it ended up being like 7 hours.
Is that because of the wind?
Oh, yeah, we hit the northern wind so bad. There was waves 6 foot.
Yeah, I was gonna
and
say
there was about 6 to 7 foot swells in every direction. So,
and what size of a canoe were you on?
It's a cedar strip glass fiberglass, so it's about 40 feet.
Okay. That's a big canoe. That's a really big canoe to keep straight into the wind.
Oh, you got to be really strong to steer it. Well, we were going around the point, and we were actually going pretty good. We were the first ones out there to be around the point. We're like, oh, we're going to make it there first. Nope. End up, those waves hit pretty hard, and our skipper decided we're going to tow through it. But if you know, it's kind of hard to do when there's waves hitting every direction. So we missed the point of the wave, so our support boat came up right next to us. But another wave hit us, and it brought the support boat up, and it almost came down on us, but he moved out of the way, but that wave sunk us.
So you dumped a 40-foot boat, I remember having to do this in Boy Scouts, and I know you know, Mike, but it never really happens, and you never really have to apply it practically in a dangerous situation, but how long did it take you to get that canoe over top of that over the other boat and turn that thing upright and get back in the canoe? An hour?
14 minutes.
That was it.
We train for that every summer when we pull. We started March, and we don't leave till July, so.
That's pretty smart.
I leave next week, so.
Hey, man, let me ask you this.
Are you an Eagle Scout?
No, I'm a savage.
Sorry, I got confused. Miles Freeman with the Boy Scouts. Sorry.
You're a hell of a scout.
Yeah. I was like, God
best
damn,
ever I'm from here, damn it.
15 minutes. He's like, no, we do this all the time.
But let me ask you this,
you're
man.
On my land, so
I'm going to take a timeout.
So, like, you're saying this, and, you know, it sounds like this great thing. Like, hey, man, that's what our ancestors did. We honor that. We go around there. So now I'm in this 40-foot canoe. These waves hit me. Turn this bitch over. Like, do you get mad at your ancestors at some point? Like, you couldn't do something easier?
No, I just think it's a way. It's like, oh, well, it's kind of easy compared to what they had to go through.
Well, but also, too, because
apparently
you probably had all of your gear in plastic bags.
Oh.
So that everything...
Oh, we have a... Yeah, we have dry bags and we have top of the line gear.
Just like your ancestors.
Right, exactly. Yeah. They're pulling out like 500...
You know.
They're pulling out 500-pound wet pelts.
You know, right here, you are in a dry bag.
Oh, I've got REI stuff. These quick dry underwear are nice, aren't they?
I would think if I started REI, I'd have gone to the tribe and said, look, man, if you're going to do this every year, I can help you out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, and another thing. You know those, you guys are talking about those igloo, or what are those coolers are called?
The coolers.
The Yetis?
Yetis.
Yeah, the Yetis. Guess what? They float in the water.
Well, thank God they do. All right. They can do everything.
Well, they're
airtight, sure.
And they're bear resistant.
Hey, man, I want you to do me a favor, man. When you see a relative, I want you to let them know, hey, man, based on our traditions and our ancestors, all this great, we are the equivalent of Eagle Scouts. That's what we learned today.
Yeah. Did you guys see any, I know that area is heavily populated with bears. Did you see? Oh, okay. What was the moment you knew you were in trouble?
That was the best question.
Sorry, I got lost for a second. No,
it said at the beginning, hey, man.
I know.
You're an Eagle Scout.
Kind of. He's kind of an Eagle Scout.
Well, he said he did it in 14 minutes, and he's like, retrained for this every year. Then I was like, oh, he must be an Eagle Scout. I'll burn miles. And then it's like, nope, you're the dumbass.
That's the best question ever.
I kind of live it. Yeah. What was the...
Just a tradition handed down by...
Right, all this stuff.
Thousands of years.
Generations of my family. But yeah, I'm a Boy Scout.
That's why I did it.
What was the moment you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
As soon as I asked that question.
Hello, Kay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola. How are you guys today?
We're wonderful. How are you, Kay?
Oh, I am doing great. I'm stuck in traffic, but okay. Hey, that's all right. I'm with you guys.
All right.
Good.
When did you know you were in trouble?
Oh, my gosh. Well, get right to it. I went to the wrong wedding. And
How do you go to the wrong wedding?
Wait a minute. Time out here.
How do you go to the wrong wedding?
How was the food?
Well, imagine that it's in Roy, Washington. You know, it's like a little one-horse town. I assumed every time I had ever driven through that town, I only saw one church. Okay. But when I was invited to a wedding there, I was like, got it. I know right where that is. So I went to that church. What are the odds that at the same day, same time, only the wrong church, somebody else was getting married in Roy?
Okay.
Those odds are better than you thought.
What was the moment that you knew that you were in the wrong location?
When they started the dun-dun-dun-dun, and then we stood up, we turned around, and it was not my friend.
So it took long.
Did you not see
any mutual friends? Nobody you knew. Nothing.
Keep in mind that the girl whose wedding it was, she was a little crazy, and a lot of people didn't want to go to this wedding, so we had never really met the groom, so when I'm... these goat ropers, you know, in their jeans and their hats. I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is what she's marrying into. That's okay.
Did you say she was marrying into a family of goat ropers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Were they cowboys or goat ropers?
Goat ropers. What is a goat roper?
It's like the show The Ropers.
Right, okay.
But here was the biggest problem. We put our wedding presents at the back of the church. These guys had it like a little table.
Oh, no. What was the gift? Okay, what was the gift?
No, it was something made out of China. I don't even remember.
But it was on a registry, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely. And we needed it for Debbie's reception now that we've missed the whole wedding, and we got to get it back.
So did you go up to the table and snatch it under risk of people thinking you're a thief?
My friend, who I had made go with me as my plus one because my other half was out of town, she, the whole time through the wedding, she's going, we got to leave. And I said, we're not leaving our presents back there, and we're not disrupting the wedding. Just hang on a minute. Mm. So as soon as it's over, well, guess what they do? They compound the problem by having their receiving line at the back of the church. So we can't just slither out and grab our gift and go. No, we got to go through the whole damn receiving line.
Were you like, congratulations?
Oh, you had to stay through the whole thing, man.
Believe me, I told my girlfriend, she said, I can't do this. I said, okay, you grab the present, I will create the diversion. So as I'm going down the line, I'm saying, oh, it's so great to see you guys.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, this is worse than our experience at the, at least we got, did you get, so you didn't even get the, you didn't get the reception, you get booze or food or nothing, you had to just sit through the whole ceremony.
Well, we made it to the reception for the correct wedding eventually and had booze and it all made up for it. And we had our present, but I had to kiss grandma and hug the bride like there was no tomorrow and, you know,
Do you ever think and wonder to yourself, A, are these people still married? B, do they often wonder...
Who the hell was that nice lady?
That one couple at the wedding, and they never saw them again, and they didn't... Because you know what they said was like, we need to find out who this is. So they started talking to everybody, hoping they were saying, like, at the reception, when we'll try to figure out who this is. And then you never showed to the reception. So then, like, the mystery deepens.
And I think they ended up thinking maybe we were some weirdo city people that stalked country weddings to steal presents.
That's a reasonable thing to assume,
Because you were city people stealing a present
from the table, taking off running in a car.
All circumstantial evidence pointed that way.
Yeah. When she got a hold of that present, I thought, be cool, just flip it under your coat, you know, under your arm, just walk out the door, I'm making this distraction. Oh, hell no, she trips. Drops the present, picks it up.
No.
I'm gone, and she takes off running, and I'm like, okay, I'm going with you.
Oh my God, this is like a heist.
Jesus Christ, man.
You are okay.
Oh,
okay, you're
so
good times. Okay.
Man, oh man.
Good day. That's the most exciting thing I've ever heard happen at a wedding.
Yeah.
Man, oh man. What was the moment that you knew that you were in trouble? 844-999. Ola, hold the line. More your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Dispatchers in Okanagan, Washington, received an unusual call right around lunchtime on Thursday. A woman called to say that she was 30 feet up into a tree near a local campground with wolves hovering at the bottom and waiting for her to come down. The research student said she'd been surveying the area when she saw the wolves. The tree seemed her best possible escape. Deputies sent to assist her were told that they could shoot the wolves on sight if they were still at the tree's base. But apparently, that was not necessary. A Department of Natural Resources helicopter was actually able to land and save the student. The local sheriff says his office is looking into whether the wolves have a den there. And if they'll pose future threats to other people wandering in the area. Again, let me say this. Their office is looking into whether the wolves have a den in the area. Maybe they were just there on vacation.
Right.
You think they flew in for a weekend getaway?
Went to the campground.
Yeah, just hung out, man. But now they're back in Arkansas now hanging out. Is that what you think there, Sheriff? Please don't waste anyone's time doing that.
All right, let me ask you this.
Don't do that.
Which situation is worse to you? You're the woman in the tree 30 feet above the wolves. You know you're not going to climb down from the tree. That much is understood. If the wolves are there for 3 days, you're there for 3 days. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we all agree you're not climbing back down. Or here you are with your incredibly fat father, and you are dangling 40 feet above alligators at Gator World on a zipline.
I don't know.
Here's the difference.
Zipline because
you might think you're safe. Hear me out, right? You're at Gator World, as they call it, in Florida, so you understand there's engineers around you. But again, it's still 25 minutes that you're hanging there. And frankly, just because they're engineers doesn't mean you're not going to snap and fall into the water. Okay?
No, but you are on a line with carabiners and a harness and all that stuff. When you climb into a tree, it's just you hold on to a limb, man. You know, like,
but at Gator World, there's employees.
There are employees.
She's in the woods
by herself.
With hungry wolves underneath the tree.
I understand. I think my
hungry
thought
like
is
the wolves.
I understand. You
hungry
definitely
like
you want some company. I get that. I'm saying as far as what I would feel is more secure, I mean, they're trusting the zip line that the owner even says, like, oh, something goes wrong with it all the time. Or in the tree, knowing damn well I'm not climbing down.
That's why,
you know,
like,
what I'm
any
saying?
Good burglar, you always need to come prepared with a pack of pepperoni in your pocket.
Man, this is the honest to God truth. I don't care who the dog is, how vicious they are. They've always got time for a piece of pepperoni.
You got pepperoni, man. You are in anywhere. Any animal protected area,
we got,
pepperoni wins.
A dude's house back in Baltimore, my younger days, but he had this massive, massive Doberman, and he'd only had it for like 3 or 4 days. He found it on the street. He took it in. This thing, it liked him, but it did not like anyone else. So he gives me a key to go to his place. And I'm like, man, and I'm with my buddy Leon. And it's like, listen, we're going to open the door, and there's this dog. So he's like, I'm pretty good with dogs. Don't worry about it. We open the door. This thing comes charging. Leon slams the door. He's like, Jesus Christ! The thing's a monster. I'm like, right, man. I'm like, how do we get in? Leon's light bulb goes off. We took the little bit of cash we had, walked to a Safeway that wasn't that far away.
Bought pepperoni.
He bought a pack of pepperoni, and the first thing he did, right? So the dog, we kind of knock on the door to let the dog know we're there. And you hear this thing just snarling and doing what it does. And I'm like, man, I do not want to go in this house. He's like, hang on, man. He opens up the mail slot, throws in a piece of pepperoni, okay? So you're... And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So he opens up. So now the dog's...
Tail's wagging.
The dog's... tail's not wagging. Because
the Dobermans don't have a tail. They cut it off.
But it's being a little more patient. Like, okay, tell me what you'd like. Like, at this point, yeah. it's... So he opens the mail slot again, throws it a little farther back. The dog goes back to get it. We open the door. And basically, it's like Hansel and Gretel. I'm thinking this dog's going to maul us. We walk through this guy's house, dropping pepperoni like 3 feet behind the dog each time. Open the back door, throw the rest of the pepperoni out there. The dog's now in the backyard. And then we handled our business. Mm-hmm. We did not let the dog back in. The dog is fine, but the guy, hey, that you let the dog in? And we said, no. And he said, why? Because we said, at that point, we're out of pepperoni, and we're not opening the goddamn door again.
I saw a dog this morning, and he was trying to scrape off his muzzle.
All right.
Right?
Oh, yeah, a little side paw right. action.
And it's like a big pit bull. And as it walked by me, it tried to nip at me. And then his owner just goes, that's why you have a muzzle.
Jeez, man.
That's not solving anything.
Right?
The dog went like, oh, oh, oh.
That's like Hannibal Lecter.
What was the moment you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
I knew I was in trouble when I saw
Instead
the size of that
like,
pit bull.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, the guy didn't say anything. He just went, that's why you wear a muzzle.
The thing he's trying to take off his face? That. Hello, Ray. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. Hola.
All right, so... I was 12 years old. My dad threw me in a pen with some goats. Speaking of goat ropers.
What? Why? Why? How old were you when he threw you in a pen with goats?
I was 12.
Okay.
Why? What was the purpose of this exercise?
I had to get the goat out of the pen.
Okay.
That explains it.
All right.
So here I am, 12-year-old kid, been thrown in the pen with some goats. And... like any other kid, I was like, yeah, let's go get the goats out of the pen. So I go in the pen. I get two goats out. It was fine, dandy, real easy, no problem. Well, I go to get the last goat. And when I knew I was in trouble is when I turned around and that goat was headed towards me.
I guess so, it was running toward you?
It was running towards me. Head down, boom, running towards me. So I didn't know what to do. I started running. Well, little did I know that there was a barbed wire fence that had one single strand that was about 4 foot tall. I smacked that fence with my eyelids.
Oh, no.
I'm not talking eyebrows. I'm not talking nose height. I'm talking it smacked me right in the eyelids.
Oh.
Yep. They had to cut the fence off, take me to the hospital, take the barbs out of my eyes. Yeah, it was.
Can you see all right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, God.
He's fine, dude. Right. Fine.
Good God. See, I didn't have that problem growing up.
Oh, man. What was the moment you knew you were in trouble? 844-999-OLA.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.